it was terrible to watch. It must be so frustrating as a manager like Pep Guardiola. Just the basics just gone out the window.
Brother, what's happened to this guy? He can't control the football at the moment.
The Champions League effect is in full swing. Newcastle version 2.0.
Now that Kev's era of dominance is over, I think it's Odegaard's time.
Bit of Capic in that ass.
Yeah, right on his fat Swede, mate. Is Nicholas Jackson a top three Premier League striker? Yeah, you don't want a player doing Jarrod Kwanzaa behaviour.
And now everything I know is just out the window. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Draw, episode 116. It was a very, very, very... It was a blockbuster Premier League.
It was good stuff. It was jolly good stuff. We had
Chelsea versus Aston Villa. We had Man City versus Liverpool.
That's where I was going to go. It was weird that you chose Chelsea Aston Villa first. I was going to say, we had the game that has, in recent years, defined the Premier League.
Yeah. It's given us like some of those iconic moments in recent Premier League history.
Maybe not the most hot, combustible of rivalries. It's not a Wenger Jose or a Wenger Sir Alex. It was more kissy-kissy between Klopp and Pep. But you can't argue with the points. You can't argue with the football. Yeah. It was elite stuff for many a year.
When I just watch it in the prime Klopp versus Guardiola era.
And to quote my favourite Premier League manager of recent times, era's come to an end. Shout out Ten Hag.
It's like watching that game, it was like you're watching the Premier League. Mm. It was a different level to every
100%.
Other game.
Yeah, 100%.
It was nuts. But this one was a little bit different. Where are we starting off, though?
Well, we'll start off with that game. As Ten Hag says, era's come to an end. No more Jurgen Klopp in the dugout for Liverpool. Pep Guardiola in a very uncharacteristic six-game losing... Is it six-game losing streak or five-game?
Well, six games out of win, five-game losing streak. It's mad.
You love to see it. I tweeted... Check out our Board Draw Twitter account because it's been popping off recently. I tweeted, you must be sick if you enjoy this Man City downfall. With a funny little sick man. But yeah, I think the general population is quite enjoying this Man City. Like, even the pundits. Like, you saw Roy Keane after the match. And he was like, in like a non-sadistic way. He was like, I'm enjoying this. Just to see, like, if Pep's got the bit about him to kind of bring it back. Or if this squad's got a bit about them to bring it back. And it was, yeah, it's interesting to see. Because this Man City team, we'll talk about the game, looked absolutely stinky, mate.
Yeah, this is the main thing, like, sometimes it's really easy just to continue riding the high. Mm. And they've done it for, you know, six out of seven seasons.
He did that, didn't he?
But sometimes when it crumbles into too many pieces to pick up.
And when you're so high, the crumble... If you build a massive building...
Yeah, it's hard as a rebuild.
But if your big building crumbles, it makes a bigger
mess
than a small little building. And Man City have, under Pep, built an empire.
Yeah, they've literally built like the Empire State Building out of Lego.
Yeah.
And Arne Slot has come in and just absolutely demolished it like King Kong.
Yeah, it's a big one. So yeah, let's talk about Man City. Started the game really poorly. Liverpool should have been about 3-4-0 up in about half an hour.
Genuinely, we were watching it in the pub and I was thinking, this could be six. We couldn't string a pass together. Man City.
They couldn't string a pass together. You got the likes of Rico Lewis in the midfield, too lightweight, was getting bullied. You got Kyle Walker, can't do a progressive pass to save his life. Ake came in, didn't look great. Akanji came in, didn't look great.
Yeah, I mean, never did I think I'd see a day where you have Gundogan, like Bernardo Silva, Phil Foden on a football pitch, and none of them can control the ball.
Honestly, like those three are like tech.
There was a point where Liverpool got it over to their left-hand side. First time they plucked a pass under pressure, like surrounded by three Man City players, plucked a pass over the top of them and found, I think it was Salah or Trent on the other side. Mm. And I was just thinking, it was so much composure, so much class. And then it was such a shift to Man City, who were panicking any time the ball came near them.
Oh, 100%.
No one had any idea what was going on. It was... They couldn't control the ball. Their passes were loose. The passes were slow. The passes were short. It was terrible to watch. It must be so frustrating as a manager like Pep Guardiola. Just the basics just gone out the window.
Basics have gone out the window because it's exactly what you said. It's just like a team that you kind of know for their ability to retain possession, first touch, always on point, every player. Like, you see Phil Foden, you see videos of him, compilations on the timeline of him and his outrageous first touch. Brother, what's happened to this guy? He can't control the football for shit at the moment. Like, I was thinking about this the other night, and I was like, if I could have one, like, elite attribute as a footballer, I think it'd just be, like, first touch, because you just buy yourself so much time. Mm. That's why I think Odegaard's just, like, a mile ahead of, like, most other players in the league, because his
but
first touch
like,
is...
But you watch, some players who the ball will come to them, and they'll immediately, with their first touch,
stick,
take two players out of the game.
Make it stick
or they
and go.
Give themselves the advantage, because they could bring the ball in, or, like, they shape their body in a position where they're going to have the advantage against the opposing player.
Yeah, and those three players you listed, Gundo, Foden, and Bernardo Silva, for years, that's been them. The ability to retain the ball under possession, under pressure, keep possession, turn and go. What is going on with these dogs?
It's absolutely mental. And is it... we've spoken for...
Say it, ad nauseum.
I was trying to think of something.
Come on.
But we have spoken time and time again about Rodri and whatever. And we need to look past that now.
Yeah, I'm not even... Like, those are the three that we listed. Obviously, there's more problems in the team. But Gundo, Phil Foden, and who's the other Don that we said? Bernardo Silva. Mm-hmm. Those are pre-this season world-class players.
Yeah, they're the ones you would look to to control a game. Yeah. Like, you see them three in the lineup, you're thinking this is going to be
fine.
A hard day.
Yeah, it's fine.
But unlike, I don't really care like Matheus Nunes,
no.
Savinho, Doku.
No.
I'm not looking at those men.
They're not world-class players. But those three, you've got player of the season. You've got Gundo, who's been world-class for seasons on end. Bernardo Silva, seasons on end, world class.
Yeah, you just expect such a higher level out of them. Mm. And to see, like occasionally you see players dip in form, one or two. Not everyone in that team has dropped stinker after stinker after stinker. And I don't know where does it begin? He made a brave call at the beginning of the game, dropping Edison, bringing in Ortega. I think Ortega was all right.
He was all right, gave away a pen.
Yeah, I mean... You're always going to be under pressure when you're playing in a team who's playing like Man City are at the minute.
And I've got, like, no sympathy for them at all, because we know what this team is like mentality-wise. They're mentality monsters. Mm. You don't do four on the bounce if you haven't got world...
A treble.
Yeah. You need, like, elite mentality. So I'm not even going to give them the, oh, Rodri's out, cut them some slack.
I think this is...
They don't deserve the slack.
This is the difference, though. Like, it's so easy to... It's so easy to just think, like, right, they've got the best players. They can continue to go and go again. But they're not going to be as hungry for this one as Arsenal are. They're probably not going to be as hungry for this one as Liverpool are.
No, but they did it last year. Why this season, why are they not hungry?
I don't know. These are questions I don't have the answers to. Mm. And everything every week I go into the fixture list, I'm thinking, right, it's a good game, it's a good game. And now everything I know is just out the window.
And I love to see it.
My brain is being frazzled every weekend by some sort of something that happens in the Premier League.
I think they're fifth in the league now.
They're 4 points ahead of Man United, which is mental.
Yeah, it's mad. Right, a couple of things I want to bring up. Man City, two shots in 90 minutes.
Mental.
I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago that, like, as much as, like, the fall-off needs to be studied and Rodri and blah, 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 one thing they just always used to have going for them is they're just bad goals. Mm. Like, even if they struggled in games, you're bagging goals for fun.
I mean, in the seasons where they were looking at, like, post Aguero, and I think it was mainly Gabby Jesus leaving the line, you had, like, five or six players with, like, 10-plus goals.
100%.
10-plus assists. Like, people would have 15, 20-plus goal contributions every season.
They're getting shanked.
Five or six people.
Now they're just... It's Haaland getting 90%. They're becoming one of those teams where you've got one player on, like, 90% of goals. And when that player isn't firing, when that player can't get fed, like Haaland isn't getting fed at the moment, which I'll come on to in a minute, Man City just look like they've got no options.
Yeah, and it's all the way throughout. They have been rocked. Their mentality is in tatters. The main question is, can Pep regroup his troops, sort of bring them back to a level? They need to get on a good run as soon as possible, stop the rot. But maybe teams, maybe they're losing that fear factor, because
I love it.
We're seeing teams come out against them now.
Well, I've got another thing here. So does Haaland work in a team where KDB doesn't play?
No, not as well.
At all.
Watching that game, I was thinking, right, you're Pep Guardiola, the best manager in the world.
Yeah.
It's not working. Like, it's not working at all. You need to switch it up. Maybe you just sack off Kyle Walker. Because that left wing is a myth anyway. He's done. Whoever's up against him is going to run him ragged.
Yeah.
At least Rico Lewis can get up there. So maybe you play him right back. Or you even put like a Kanji there. And you need to shift like Haaland and just tend to just sit on Trent.
Mm.
Take like 65% of your play and channel it down that right-hand side, yeah?
Yeah, get away
channel it down the right-hand side. So you're up against Robbo, who's, I wouldn't say, had the best season.
Mm.
And that's it, bang, 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 all the way down the right-hand side. And then Haaland's just drifting. And all he's looking to do is comment at that back post. Because there's only going to be him or Joe Gomez.
Trent or Joe Gomez is a makeshift right-back, like right-back area, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So, and you've got Trent, who just come back from injury. You got Joe Gomez, who's at his first start this season. So, you know, you just target the area, and all you've got to do is just get Bernardo, Foden, Rico Lewis, just someone to whip a ball in to that back post. I know it's not simple like that.
Yeah,
But there was no attempt. Like, nothing really he did change the game.
No, like the second half, they were a little bit better, but it was kind of like, the second half just kind of coasted by. Man City didn't put, well, like we said, two shots on target in 90 minutes. They didn't really put the pressure on them.
No, there was a small mistake from Van Dijk where Kevin De Bruyne had a chance. And apart from that, there wasn't really much.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really baffling to see. Really is.
I've seen Man City fans go on the timeline and say, we're out of the title race.
I think they might be.
And I've seen Man City fans say, they were having a discussion. It was like, what is the best we can expect for this season? And this will come on to my next point, where it's about the Man City rebuild in the summer. And I've seen Man City fans say that for this rebuild to work, all they need to do is just get Champions League this season and they'll be fine.
They'll get Champions League.
That's the question. So, Man City fans, put in the comments, what is your expectation now that you're stinking it up? Is it still title races on? Is it get Champions League and rebuild in the summer? Let us know in the comments down below what you think.
Do you reckon get relegated to the Championship?
Come on, that'll just solve all the problems. Do you reckon Pep will be there for the rebuild? What's the crack?
Yeah, I think it will. I think if he left
on a stinker
like this, he loses a lot of his credibility.
Yeah, because at least Sir Alex kind of left on a high.
Tough times never last. Only tough people last.
Talking of tough people, Liverpool though, how many points are they clear now? Is it
nine
points clear?
8 points clear, yeah.
Arsenal and Chelsea. They're looking good under Schlott. One loss.
Oh, mate, I saw a nuts. I mean, go back about maybe 6-7 weeks. We were talking about their run. So the 20th of October, they played Chelsea. Then they had Leipzig, Arsenal. Then they had a doubleheader against Brighton, the AFL Cup and Premier League. Then they had Leverkusen, Villa, Southampton, Real Madrid, Man City.
Didn't lose any of them.
The only points they dropped were against Arsenal.
Come on! And we'll get on to Arsenal next. But yeah, Liverpool. But
that's like Maresca, he's beaten. Xabi Alonso, he's beaten. Emery's beaten. Ancelotti's beaten. And Pep Guardiola. That's nuts.
No, it is fair play to Arnie Slot.
Arnie Slot Penitentiary is in full effect.
That is a funny meme, to be fair. No, shout out Arnie Slot. I think he's, starting to cement himself as title favourites.
Well, I mean, it wasn't too long ago we were asking the question, are they contenders?
Yeah, and I think I saw a stat where it's like no team has been this far ahead and not won the Premier League.
Apart from Liverpool.
Oh, is it? Apart from Liverpool? Oh, I did not know that. That's funny. But yeah.
I mean, out of Man City and Arsenal, I think Arsenal are more likely to catch them.
Yeah, I think even Chelsea are more likely to catch them.
Don't know about that.
We won't talk about Chelsea because
do you know what? I give it like 5 weeks and we'll come back and talk about how Man City, Pep's turned it around and Man City look like they're back to their best.
It's just scary hours when they get to January. They'll do something, man, like grim.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Catch another charge.
But let's move on to my boys. 5-2 win at, I was going to say Upton Park, but it's not Upton Park, it's London Stadium. So, shout out last season where we had that run where we were just making opposition fans leave in like half an hour because we were just slapping goals.
You do like doing that at London Stadium.
It was reminiscent of that because
I just that shot of just streams of West Ham fans leaving is quite iconic.
That's elite stuff. So yeah, 4-0 up in about half an hour. Arsenal started the game absolutely on fire. First goal was your boy Gabriel. We'll talk about him because
monster.
I don't think he gets enough credit. When you're playing alongside William Saliba, and William Saliba just kind of like does everything so calm, so defensively assured. Kind of Gabriel was kind of just there as like a second piece. But what William Saliba doesn't have is this disgusting goal threat that Gabriel has.
Why did we not call him Magalhães?
I don't know.
Why did we first name him?
I don't know. Shout out Magalhães. I'll hit you with a stat and I'll put it up on the screen if I remember. Most Premier League goals scored by defenders since Gabriel Magalhães' debut in 2020. So Gabriel Magalhães for a centre-back in... So 2020 to now, so 4 years.
I can't even like think of who'd be up there. Like maybe like Dan Byrne?
Gabriel Magalhães, 17 goals for a centre-back.
What's the next like 12?
16, no defender. 15, no one. 14, no one. 13, no one. 12, no one. 11, Kurt Zouma.
What?
And then 10, you got 5 players that aren't listed. But yeah, so he's 6 goals ahead of the next competing centre-back. Which, like Luke mentioned, we're in the pub for the Liverpool-Man City game. And I was talking about, why is Van Dijk not doing this for Liverpool? When you've got Liverpool, where you've got Trent, arguably the best dead ball specialist in the world, and Van Dijk, an absolute physical specimen, why are they not crashing more goals?
Because they don't have Niko Jovac, or his name is.
Yeah, Jova, Nicholas Jova. But yeah, Liverpool, that's one to watch, because Arsenal, they've made... I've seen videos of Arsenal fans like on their knees getting excited for a corner. How have you got fans treating corners like penalties?
Mate, it's playing West Ham. Why are you on your knees for anything?
To be fair, I think this was a video of his wife or something. It's mad that like his wife knows.
Huh? Mate.
Pause. But it's mad
what
that his,
videos are you watching, Russ?
His wife knows. He's probably at home like, mate. Every time I get a corner, we get a corner, record the fucking TV because I'm going to crash in a header. It's crazy stuff, mate. The geezer, just this one especially, because he like pours Saka on his way out.
I did see the video of his daughter wearing like the massive Arsenal shirt. As fuck, yeah.
But yeah, he pours Saka as Saka was going out to take the corner. He was like, this is what I want you to do.
He just went...
yeah, right on his fat Swede, mate.
But yeah,
and then I mean... Got all the other players, edge of the box, and was like, we're doing this. And then crashed it in. I was like, this guy's sticking ahead.
Like, ridiculously far ahead in terms of...
Oh, yeah.
Like, goals from set pieces. They've got some of the best delivery in the world in Declan Rice and Saka. Not just the technique, but it's the consistency of delivery.
Oh, yeah. On them.
So, if you know where the ball's going to end up every time, all you have to do is switch up what you're doing in the box to confuse the opponent.
Yeah. And that's what Gabriel done. We had like a couple of corners before the one he scored where we tried, I think, like a back post thing. And then he was like, now, Saka, just whip it in front post and I'll crash it.
I think, yeah, he must be maybe the best...
Attacking centre-back.
Well,
defender.
No, I don't even... I think he might just be the most aerially dominant centre-back in the Premier League.
100%, it's crazy.
Maybe apart from Van Dijk.
I don't know.
Van Dijk, it's mental.
I think Van Dijk's more dominant.
Didn't he have one
ball
that
at the floor?
He hit the like the inside of the post, and then the other one he put like just wide for like a free header.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's weird.
I feel Van Dijk's more dominant with the ball at the floor, but yeah, in the like defensively, he gets his head on everything.
He's
and
like a
attacking.
Modern Dave Steve Bruce. Isn't
oh
he?
Fucking mate, Geezer is an absolute monster. Shout out Gabriel, quality stuff. But
it'd be good to see like a comparison of like. His goals per games against someone like the horror signings.
Yeah.
Like, has he scored more goals than like Nicholas Bentner?
I was thinking like Antony. He must like already be Antony's like Man United career. Yeah. Gabriel's already cleaned it up in a seat like this season.
Yeah. He's got more goals than Hoyland.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, if he's got more goals than like Foden and Savinho combined.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is zero, by the way. Everyone. Yeah. We all have the same amount of goals in the season.
We all seen it on Twitter, yeah. Another thing I want to talk about is Odegaard returning to the Arsenal lineup and kind of what he does to the Arsenal side.
Mate, this guy, he had a fairly lengthy time period out. Mm. He's come back like he'd never left. The ability to go back to just the same level, not even the same level, but...
Better.
Better is nuts.
Talk to them.
And it's just, Saka is just, he must feel like the most blessed man on the planet.
100%.
It's nuts.
It's like, people talk about it ad nauseum. When Martin Odegaard is out of the side, that right-hand side, all defenders need to do is know, double up on Saka. Arsenal lose all creativity because Saka has no one to pass it around with. Also, no one that is going to drag defenders away from Saka. So Saka just gets crowded out. But with Odegaard, who is a threat on his own, a creative threat on his own, Saka not only doesn't get doubled up, but he can play 1-2s with Odegaard and know that he's going to be able to make a run and get found. Like you saw for the goal where he played a 1-2 with Odegaard. Odegaard kind of like dinked it over the defensive line and then Saka put it across to Trossard, I think, that scored. Yeah, that relationship's crazy, mate. And I've seen a lot of opposition fans on the timeline say Odegaard's the best playmaker in the Premier League. Where do you stand on that?
Well, Big Kev's nowhere near the fucking argument at the
minute. That's what I said. I said, now that Kev's era of dominance is over, I think it's Odegaard's time.
I don't know if is Cole Palmer like a playmaker?
That was the thing I was thinking of. Like, Cole Palmer's the only one can come
close. I would say, like, I don't think last season, Phil Foden, maybe. Like a playmaker. Maybe Bruno Fernandes could be up there.
I think...
We know how good he is.
Yeah, I think Bruno Fernandes in a working system is
which
probably...
Which
we might see. Is the only one that comes close. But I think Odegaard...
Paqueta.
He got absolutely... He had a stink fest. But yeah, I think Odegaard, there's just no one, like we said, apart from Kev and maybe an on-form Bruno that has like that kind of IQ.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like Boovy, but Boovy said... best playmaker in the Premier League. And it's hard to argue. It just knits everything together. I saw a tweet, and this can't be right, but maybe it is. Twitter is pretty much official news only. I saw a tweet that said, Odegaard could misplace his next 500 passes and still have a better pass accuracy than Bruno Fernandes. That can't be right.
Yeah, but it depends...
But what if it is right? That's mental. I don't know. That's what I read on Twitter. Like I said, Twitter's just an absolute cesspit, so it could be wrong.
The source is just like...
The source is just me. But, yeah, no, Odegaard, so glad to have him back. He just unlocked so much kind of like for Arsenal in terms of, yeah, like we said, unlocking Saka, but just kind of dictating the game, kind of higher up the pitch. He's such a good presser as well. Yeah, I've missed him. What are you saying?
Man United.
Yeah. Oh, quickly before we move on to Man United. Can Arsenal catch Liverpool?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, I agree.
Nice. I mean, all it takes Liverpool to just have a stinky run. Couple injuries. 2-2 injuries, you know. Them's a game.
Post AFCON Salah. But like you said, there is no AFCON. Where is that? I don't know. Right, yeah. Man United. Ruben Amorim's second game in charge?
Yeah, first game, home game. And he done what Erik ten Hag failed to do in his entire time there and won a game by 4 goals.
Really?
Yeah.
Mad. What was it? Xerxes 2, Rashford 2.
Yes.
Who do you want to talk about out of those two first?
Let's talk about Marky Rashford. He's just hot and cold, isn't he? Like one season...
You know what's hot? His new girlfriend. I don't know if they're going out, to be fair. But
He'll just smash like 20 goals.
Yeah, no,
and he'll be good. And then he just disappears. Like, is there a player who's like so up and down like this guy?
No, he is definitely the most... hot and cold player in the Premier League, I'd say.
And you, every time he goes cold, you just think, right, that's him, done. Just ship him off somewhere. Like,
well, have you, like the new girl that he's seeing, I brought it up because all her Instagram comments are now, it's just, thank you for saving Rashford. Rashford's back on form because he's got you, blah, blah, blah. It's funny stuff. It's kind of like when Arteta kind of, every time Arsenal players join, immediately cuff them, get married. Just to clear their head of all... You don't want a player
ready all the time.
Yeah, you don't want a player doing Jarrod Kwanzaa behaviour. You want a player locked in. You don't want them DMing Astrid Wett and all these.
I mean, Nicholas Jackson clearly has stopped because he's bagging goals.
That's true. He's probably locked in now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. You just need players to lock in, and that's clearly what Rashford's on right now. Locked in under the new manager.
Locked in under his girlfriend.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, he's playing that kind of. Striker role, isn't he? Which is nice.
Yeah, so I think Xerxes played like as the most focal point with he had Rashford and Bruno sitting behind him. Xerxes was brilliant, like linking up the play, bringing players in. Those three there can be goals. And then you've got Ahmad Diallo.
Oh, he's outrageous. So techie.
So, so good. It's really good stuff from Man United. And, I mean, it was
the three at the back helps as well, doesn't it? Because they can just... They're always a bit defensively wobbly. Mm. And the midfield was never really, like, good enough to do that kind of double pivot on his own. But when you've got three defenders and those two midfielders, it's very congested and a bit more solid in that area.
Yeah, I think... Like, it's... It was the level of play was exacerbated by the fact that Everton was so poor. This is probably their worst performance all season. I mean, catalogue of errors.
Mm.
It was horrendous to watch. James Tarkowski could have done like a Premier League fail montage for like four seasons worth in that game. It was horrendous. And Everton are never going to be a team who look like they're going to score like three goals a game.
Mm.
They're a team who struggle for goals but rely on defensive consistency.
Mm.
It just went out the window. I don't know what happened. That was one of Branthwaite's worst games I'd seen.
Yeah, that whole... Like,
Ashley Young. The fact he's still playing in the Premier League at this big age. Yeah. There's about six managers that are younger than him. It's nuts.
There probably is, to be fair.
I reckon Amorim's got to be younger than
him. Yeah, Amorim, that Brighton game. Yeah, probably Arteta.
Yeah, Hertzler. I don't know if Arteta's...
I don't know. But Ashley Young is old.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
Arne Slot's probably younger than him.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I saw something where Arne Slot played against Kevin De Bruyne in a preseason game in his last season at Zwolle.
Come on.
Yeah, nuts. But yeah, Man United, I think we should not get too excited.
No, he was quite good at saying that as well, post-match. He comes off quite well. And
I think he's so chill.
Yeah, he's a pretty chill guy.
He is the epitome of that chill guy. Meme.
He said, I can't remember who Man United had midweek in the Europa League.
Mm.
But he said, we won that game 3-2, but we should have won by more. And then he said, 4-0 against Everton, flattered us. Everton should have had a couple. We weren't like as good as 4-0 suggests. So I like that from him. He's kind of keeping keeping the fans' heads calm. Yeah.
I mean, it's very easy to get overexcited when you've had nothing but mediocrity for years.
Facts.
But yeah, I'm not going to jump to any conclusions, but he may have saved my pre-season predictions.
Yeah, facts. I forgot about your preseason. Where do you have them? Third?
Yeah, second, third. Yeah.
Well, big game. So we've got Prem midweek as well, which means we might do an extra pod. But they've got big Arsenal next. His probably first real test.
That's going to be juicy, boy. But no Lisandro Martinez. No Kobbie Mainoo.
Mainoo. It's like he's French. But I don't know. It'll be his first real test. See how he handles against... A well-drilled, world-class Arsenal side.
An Arsenal team that are currently flying.
Yeah, come on. I'd love it if we just slap them.
Send them right back down to earth.
Yeah. But, yeah, Man United, I think, enjoy the ride, mate. I think he's a decent manager. Got a bit of
I think he just... Yeah, it's not going to... It's going to be good. I think they'll be all right. I think they might see the Champions League for the first time in a little while.
Oh, you reckon they'll get Champions League? Don't know about that one.
Well, maybe...
Hmm.
I mean, really, their main sort of, well, the team who I think are going to fulfil that fourth spot are Chelsea.
Yeah, we'll quickly touch on a couple of things then before we move on to the old segments. Chelsea beating Aston Villa.
Aston Villa falling off a cliff. The Champions League effect is in full swing. Newcastle version 2.0.
Is it the Champions League effect or is it the Emery effect?
League.
Emery is... well known for kind of hitting a level and then not being able to kind of do more with that.
Like,
so he got Arsenal, at Arsenal, and the same with PSG. So he got Arsenal to like top four and we were like in a run to get Champions League and then just dip, form was heavy. Same with PSG.
You bought it to Spurs the last day of the season, yeah.
And it's just like, all right, thank you. yeah, it's just one of those things where I was like, I don't know if he's got the minerals.
I think he is an elite manager. I will hear no disrespect on my boy's name. He's an elite manager. They just do not have the facilities to facilitate Champions League performances.
I thought we said they had quite good squad depth.
But they don't have the quality. They don't have the quality to go to Juventus.
Lucky we haven't got enough people that go back and watch the pod, like old pod, to kind of call us out on our...
They have good... They have fairly decent squad depth. But you're looking at Chelsea, who are rotating their full starting 11 in the Conference League.
Mm. True that.
In the Carabao Cup, the FA Cup, you watch them in a couple weeks, they'll be rotating that entire team because he can. Mm. It's also helped by the fact they've got 4 million players. Mm. But they can do it.
Yeah, facts.
But Aston Villa, if they were in the Europa League, the Conference League, they could rotate more bodies. But to get anything against Bayern Munich, to get anything against Juventus, they need to be putting out their best team.
True that, true that.
I think the one time they did try it, they lost to Club Brugge.
Yeah, they did.
So this is it. It's part and parcel of the game.
Yeah, when John Duran isn't scoring a goal every game.
And even their best team has to put on a crazy level of performance, give 120% to get something against Bayern Munich. Mm. You know, this is the difference. And it's no disrespect to Aston Villa, because what they've got an amazing squad full of amazingly talented players. But they're now punching above their weight. Mm. But I want to see them continue to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Chelsea, what were we saying? Good?
Chelsea, yeah, really good. So, a little bit hot and cold sometimes. Mm. But I think they've really started to get into it. Caicedo, Lavia building a nice partnership. Enzo Fernandez coming into some form. He started all three of them, which was good to see. Enzo playing a little bit higher up. Mm. Yeah, I mean, Cole Palmer doing Cole Palmer things. He got a nice little assist. And I mean, that finish was disgusting. Nolly Madueke, always dangerous. Nicholas Jackson, he's locked in.
Fire, yeah.
He's not looking back at Ashford Wet no more. He's only looking forward towards the goal.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, we saw what Nicholas Jackson could do last season. We said it was very raw, but clearly a player in there. Keeps getting it. There was probably no one, maybe apart from Darwin Núñez, who got into so many good positions and didn't score. Mm. And yeah, Nicholas Jackson is proven fruitful for them.
So a discussion. Is Nicholas Jackson a top three Premier League striker?
I'm just talking Erling Haaland. I think Alexander Isak is better.
That was the only other person I could think of. I think I'm giving it to Havertz as third place.
No, I'd probably take Jackson over Havertz.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah. I really think Nicholas Jackson is really good.
Yes, I like him. I'd have him like
Diego Jota.
In the question, nah, Jota's... I think he's Reece James-ified. Like, there's too many injuries to even be to be
Mateus
in question.
Jr.
Is decent, he's to a be good fair. Player. Yeah, but yeah, Chelsea, good stuff. Title challenge maybe is actually locked in.
Yeah, I think I don't know about title challenge, but yeah. I think they'll be very well placed for a good crack at getting Champions League football.
Yeah, which will help attract even more players.
The score cap has gone up.
Come on. Right, one more thing I want to touch on before we do the segments. Southampton got absolutely fisted right up the bum by VAR this weekend. Well, actually, it wasn't this weekend. It was Friday night. Against a good Brighton side, who we talked about last week on the pod, saying that they're just going about their business very well. Mm. Didn't have the best game against Southampton, who haven't had a good season. Went 1-0 up through Mitoma, and then Southampton fought back well, scored a good goal. Tyler Dibling, what a player. Mm. And then, yeah. Cameron Archer scored. And then Tyler Dibling kind of like set up the play, blah, blah, blah. Crossed it in. And then Adam Armstrong was like ahead of the play. But because he like flicked his leg up, they said that he like affected the play. And they ruled out the goal. Absolute fraudery. Hmm. God knows how VAR
Mate,
can look
just
at that.
Week and, after week, they just do something more stupid.
It was mental. And this was like to start off the game week as well. So I just thought, Jesus Christ, where do we go from here? It was, yeah. If I was Southampton, Russell Martin, like we said, we're unsure about him, but he came out after the game, spoke really well, said he's sick of trying to talk about VAR, because I think Southampton have been shafted a few times this season. But he just said, terrible decision. And I feel for them, because when you're down there, to win away, I think it was away against Brighton, that's a really good result if they could have got it.
Two seaside of towns.
Battling
out.
Gutted for them. Yeah. Actually, I don't really care.
But I don't really care.
Right. Segment.
Hit me with a segment, boy. Right. Where should we start off with?
Right, let's start.
Howler of the Week?
Yeah. Go on, Howler Week. Oh, no, it's me doing Howler Week this week.
Russ has picked us a tasty little Howler of the Week. It's a very goalkeeper-centric. I think last week we had goalkeeper Howler of the Week. We've got another one for you today.
Goalkeepers making mistakes is quite funny.
Goalkeepers are the most important players on the pitch.
So this was a goal for Notts County scored by George Abbott, but it's the absolute nightmare from the opposition keeper Bilo Kapic, who I'll roll the tape and then I'll talk about it.
Tonking, really a pasting. Although keeper just time for more calamitous defensive work. Shots here, and you know what? It might be goal bound. And oh, my
word! Bit of cabbage in that ass. So he goes to take the goal kick or free kick or whatever it is out wide, slips, lands straight to the Notts County player who takes a first time shot from the outside of the box, floating in, going in, keepers backtracking, not really looking at where the goal is, just runs straight into the post.
Just jiggy with it, yeah.
Mess. You love to see it though. It's always fun in games, and that's the magic of the FA Cup for you.
Sticking with the FA Cup and the theme of goalkeepers.
Come on.
I have Leighton Orient keeper who scored in injury time.
Come on.
To equalise. And then Leighton, I think it was against Oldham. And then Leighton Orient went on to win it in the 121st minute.
In the 21st minute.
Mental.
You love to see it.
Mate, goalkeepers scoring is one thing. Goalkeepers scoring last minute winners or like equalisers.
Yeah, that reminds me of that Alisson one that he scored.
Against West Brom.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Mate, Senny Dieng against Sunderland for QPR.
Yeah, what? Shout out the keepers. Roll tape.
Late drama at Brisbane Road. Non-League Oldham was so close, but look at that. The goalkeeper has scored the equaliser.
You love to see it.
Tape has been rolled.
Love to see
so
it.
And so have Oldham fans' heads. Right. It's time for the main event. It's Bordraw Fives.
Right. This week, we got the boys over at Nostalgia FC. Ooh. We got Drew, we got George, and we got Owen to predict five games, earn their spot on the Fives leaderboard. The five games that we've asked them to predict are Wolves versus Bournemouth, Chelsea versus Aston Villa, Man United versus Everton, West Ham versus Arsenal, and the big one, Liverpool versus Manchester City. Let's see how they did.
Hello, it's Boys from Nostalgia FC here. Drew,
George, Owen.
Very rare in the same place at the same time. So thanks for the invite to play Fives this week to the Bordraw boys. So we deal in the world of nostalgic football, the good old days. So chances are...
This is going to go horribly wrong.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible. But we'll go for it anyway. So first off, Bournemouth Wolves, or Wolves Bournemouth.
Yep.
What are we saying?
I'm saying Wolves win.
Big win.
Loads of goals. 5-3.
Big win.
It's a game we don't really care about, so let's go for it.
5-3. All right. No logic there. Let's go for that. who's the next game?
Chelsea Villa.
Chelsea Villa. I'm going to go 2-2 draw.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, I'd be inclined to a Chelsea win because they're at home. But a 2-2 draw, I think both teams doing well this year. And one's on the rise, one's a bit on the decline. So, yeah.
I reckon Nicholas Jackson at the double, and then Morgan Rogers and Axel Disasi on goal.
Nicholas Jackson, okay.
Specific.
Rogue. Very specific. So we have an interest in the other three games. So I'm a Liverpool fan, Owen's a West Ham fan, George occasionally supports United when he's not pretending to support Wrexham. So we're going to predict each other's teams. So I'm going to go for United-Everton. I'm going to go for 3-1 United, two goals from Rashford, one goal from the ghost of Luke Shaw, and then Beto's going to score for Everton.
Nice. Huh? Luke Shaw back from the dead. I will go with the West Ham Arsenal game, and I think London Stadium still doesn't create quite enough atmosphere to be intimidating, in my opinion. No offence. I believe it's going to be a 2-1 win for Arsenal. I think it's going to be an Odegaard masterclass.
Oh, tasty.
Yeah.
So I've got the last game of the day. It's the big one, Liverpool against Man City. And Man City are on a really bad streak at the moment, and Liverpool are playing out their skins. So obviously City are going to win a really dodgy game, 1-0. And it'll be a proper scrappy goal by someone like Nathan Ake.
Well, let's hope that's not true. So shouts out board draw. Hopefully we top that leaderboard. Probably not though, especially with that absurd first prediction.
5-3.
Yeah.
Hey, when it comes through,
we're here.
Yeah.
If that comes through, we're playing the lottery next week. Right. Nice one.
Right.
Right. Let's start with Wolves versus Bournemouth.
What a fucking weird game that was. I mean, three penalties.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about
Cliver
that.
Doing the business.
I think that's the first time someone's ever scored three pens in a Premier League match.
I mean, Shada scored a hat-trick for Brentford. Didn't talk about that either. Yeah. It was just such a good weekend. But yeah, what was it? 4-2 in the end?
4-2 in the end, but they predicted 5-3 Wolves. They actually said loads of goals, which they're pretty bang on about. Predicted it the wrong way around. So that's nil point.
Yeah, I saw the Bournemouth admin tweet about it, calling it a schlobber knocker or something like that. It's a very weird term to use.
Yeah, and why?
Oh, fuck it, man.
That's weird. Up next, Chelsea versus Aston Villa, which they actually didn't predict very well. Most of theirs are quite close, apart from this one. This one, they predicted a 2-2 draw. It was actually a 3-0 spanking by Chelsea. Nil point
for that one, indeed.
Right, up next, Man United versus Everton. This one, they're actually pretty bang on about. They even said 2 goals for Marcus Rashford, which is on the money. If we offered points for extra things, might give you a point, but we're not going
to
do that. They predicted 3-1.
The integrity of the game.
I was going to say. They predicted 3-1. It was 4-0. That's 1 point. West Ham versus my boys Arsenal. I think they had, one of them is a West Ham fan, which just made it fun. They said 2-1 to Arsenal. It was actually 5-2, so that's another point. And then to round it up, Liverpool versus Man City. They said Man City were going to stink up a 1-0. They didn't. Liverpool 2-0, got it over line. That's 0 points, which gives them a grand total of
2 points.
2 points, which puts them, I don't know, kind of like
probably towards the bottom.
Bottom end of mid-table.
Yeah. Maybe like the last weekend of mini fixtures.
We get like the bottom five.
We get everyone back to do a prediction.
That's so much editing for me. I was going to say the bottom five can go again.
Yeah, bottom five.
Which is fair, I think. But yeah, 2 points for them. Let us know if you're enjoying Board Draw Fives and let us know who you'd like to get on Board Draw Fives. The leaderboard is looking juicy.
Yeah, it's good fun.
It is good fun.
Christmas is coming up. If you want to cop yourself a nice little football shirt, head on over to Classic Football Shirts, use the link in the description, use code BOARDDRAW10 at checkout, and get a shirt for your nan.
We tag us all the pictures of your nan in Christmas shirts.
Yeah, she can't be running around topless no more, otherwise Nicholas Jackson will be all over that, or Wayne Rooney maybe.
Or Jarrell Kwanzaa.
Jarrell Kwanzaa.
He actually came on for Liverpool and actually looked decent. It's so, I can imagine Liverpool fans are absolutely stressed at this guy. That he just tanked his entire, like, reputation.
Thanks, mate. You probably fucked him.
Yeah, literally. Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Steve Bordereau and his live.